Right. Amen. So you're in Ecclesiastes chapter number 1. Go to Romans chapter 10 real quick. Romans chapter number 10. So we're going to go ahead and continue on with the series we've been doing, which is how to increase your spiritual senses. And we've mentioned that we have 5 physical senses, and in the Bible you're going to see 5 spiritual senses as well. Now remember what I said last week, right? There's no need to get confused or bogged down. The application is the same, okay? By doing, exercising the Word of God, okay? Every single one of these has the same application, and so no need to worry about that. But each time I study one of these, I learn something new, and I think it's very fun, very blessed to have studied this, and I think it's going to be a great help to all of us. So tonight, we're going to take a look at physical hearing versus spiritual hearing. And the title of the sermon is How to Hear Things That Don't Make a Sound. Now, you're in Romans chapter number 10 now, okay? Now, in the King James Bible, it says, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." Okay, so faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So obviously, the Word of God speaks. Okay, the Word of God speaks like no other book in the world. Now, here's a big problem. I think it's a subtle problem, and I'm probably going to get some hate for saying this, but it is what it is. Now, I want to read how this verse reads in the NIV. The NIV says, "Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ." But I ask, did they all hear? Of course they did. Okay? Now, some might say, don't you say that the Word of God is the Word of Christ? And yeah, we believe that. Okay, I believe that if you're reading the book of Romans, that's the Word of Christ. I believe if you're reading Genesis chapter 19, that is the Word of Christ. I believe if you're reading Judges chapter 19, that's the Word of Christ. That's the Word of God, of course. Jesus is the Word of God. So I don't have a problem per se with that, but knowing the new evangelical community, I have an issue with that, because what do they push? Okay. Well, they push that we're only responsible for the message. So the overall general broad message, which is just love your neighbor, and by neighbor, they mean everybody who's close to you or everybody in the world, and you'll do pretty well. Okay, that's what they mean by that, okay? And so because of that message, because we know that, and you say, well, how do you know that? Well, you're going to know that in several different ways. Just go talk to one of them, go knock on one of their doors, or you can look at our inbox, okay? And you'll see very clearly that is what they believe. Now, the Amplified Version says this. It says, "So faith comes by hearing what is told." So faith comes by hearing what is told. Interesting. And then it says, "And what is heard comes by the preaching of the message that came from the lips of Christ, the Messiah himself." Okay, the Messiah himself. Okay, now, if you can hear, and all of you can hear, you got the Holy Spirit, okay, you hear what that's really trying to tell you. What that's really saying is only the general loving message that Christ spoke is what you're going to be held accountable for. And of course, like Plato, they can mold and shape that any way that they want to so that it is applicable to them and they can make the Christian life easy. But of course, consequently, what do? They actually make getting saved hard, don't they? That's what they do. So just a kind of a quick example there of some of the buffoonery. Now go back to Ecclesiastes chapter number 1. We'll go ahead and get started from that chapter. You know, another thing that I see here is obviously we believe that verse as it is written. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Okay, well, guess what? Obviously, you need to use your measure of faith. We'll talk about that briefly in a little bit. You need to use your measure of faith, which God has given to every man to get saved. Okay, if you still have it, you haven't thrown it away. We get that. We understand that. However, after salvation, what does the Bible say? We walk by faith, not by sight. Hey, we walk by faith, not by sight. So we need to continuously hear all the Word of God from Genesis to Revelation in order to fulfill that mission, which is to walk by faith, not by sight. And so when you change it and you broaden it and you just say the Word of Christ and you mean it like how they mean it, okay, and you say, oh no, you know, I got friends at a new evangelical church and they just use the NIV and just some of those. They don't bother with the Amplified. Yeah, but they're not going to bash the Amplified Version. Okay, none of these clowns out here, none of them are going to bash the Amplified Version. Okay? You know what they will bash? They'll bash the King James. Any day over the ESV, any day over the Amplified, any day over the NASB or any of those trash translations of the Bible, which it's hard to even refer to them as that. So let's get started right away. The sermon has one point, like most of them do, and we're going to develop that right now. Look at chapter number 1, Ecclesiastes, verse number 8. So Solomon says this, "All things are full of labor. Man cannot utter it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing," and here it is, "nor the ear filled with hearing." Okay, notice that. "Nor the ear filled with hearing." So that is just the same thing, but said in a different way. Okay, just like the physical eye is never satisfied. Okay, you know that. The world knows that. But just like that, our ears, our physical ears, are never satisfied. Now let me show you what I mean by that. Now keep your place in Ecclesiastes chapter number 1 and go to Acts chapter number 17. Acts chapter number 17. I'll show you a perfect example of what I'm trying to say. So Solomon lets us know that the ear is never filled with hearing. Okay? Now, just to kind of show you this here, Acts chapter 17, look at verse 21. So the Bible says, "For all the Athenians and strangers which were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell," now look at this, "or to hear some new thing." Okay, and isn't that like life? Isn't that like how we are sometimes? Isn't that like how the world is? Okay, the world gets tired of the same old message, which is why the media has to constantly bounce around. They've got like a narrative of like 10 different things. Immigration, Ukraine, Russia, the national debt, and you know, all these other things. And they just keep cycling them through because people get bored with it, they get complacent, they just start saying, you know what, we don't care. So they bring something else up and they just, you know, keep this cycle going to keep people's physical ears on the move, I guess I could say. Now go back to the Old Testament. How'd you keep your place in Ecclesiastes chapter 1? But go to Psalm chapter number 34. Psalm chapter number 34. So far, what have we learned? Well, we've learned that the old man's ears, okay, they're never satisfied. They're never filled. They're never complete. Okay, we have a tendency to want to always hear something new. You know, and if you've been around this for a long time, you know, maybe you've, back in the day, you had your favorite show, and I'm not recommending you watch TV shows. I'm just saying, you know, you had your favorite show, whatever it was that you used to watch. Okay, and then you loved it, but it got old, and you had to find something new, okay? Well, that is just an attribute of the old man, an attribute of the physical ear. Now, pay attention to this here. Verse 2, Psalm chapter 34. The Bible says, "My soul shall make her boast in the Lord." Now, look at this. "The humble shall hear thereof and be glad." So the humble shall hear thereof and be glad. And this humble person that is spoken of here has a soul that will boast in the Lord. So what does that mean? That means obviously you're saved, you have the new man, which means you have the spiritual ear, which means we could say this, the physical ear is never satisfied, but the spiritual ear is dignified. What does dignified mean? Well, it means calm, impressive. It means deserving of respect. And how you say, well, how can that be? Well, because you didn't make it. Okay, God gave that to you, which is why you have to beat down the old man and allow the word of God to come through the old man with discipline so that you can then spend time listening with your spiritual ear. Okay, because that ear is going to develop calmness. That ear deserves respect, meaning we need to respect that. We need to respect the fact that God gave us that tool to be of use. Okay, and of course it's impressive because he designed it. We did not. It is not corrupt. Now go to John chapter number 10. So we're going to go back and forth a few times between the Old Testament, New Testament. It's really not going to take a long time to get through this. You do a study on the word here, and there's just all kinds of verses that come up. A lot of good stuff in the Bible about actually physically listening. Okay, I'm not undermining that. We need to pay attention. We need to listen in things of that nature. I've done sermons on that in the past, so I'm not discounting that. But I want to focus on some of the things maybe we haven't spent a lot of time on over the last couple of years. Okay, so again, The physical ear is never satisfied, but the spiritual ear is dignified. And why is it dignified? Because God made it, because it's calm. That's what it produces. It produces a calmness. You say, well, how? Well, again, think of the disciples. Think of all the turmoil, all the trouble that they went through, but yet they were still able to remain calm. They were still able to learn. They were still able to demonstrate the power of God, okay? And that's exactly what we can do as well when we make the simple choice to walk in the new man. Now, listen to this. John chapter number 10, look at verse 27, very famous verse here. John 10, 27, Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." Okay, so my sheep hear my voice. He says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." So what does that mean? Well, that means obviously at conversion, you're given the new man. That new man has the sense, and we need to exercise the sense. We need to hear the word of God. How do you hear? Again, what's the title of the sermon? How to hear things that don't make a sound. You know, when you're reading the Bible on your own time, you know what? It is speaking to you, but you're not hearing it with your physical ears. However, you're still hearing the voice of God because it is his word, and you're also getting application, you're getting revelation because the Holy Spirit's inside of you teaching you things as you study and as you read. Now back up to verse number 5 here, okay, because obviously this needs to be paid attention to. Verse 5, Jesus says, "And a stranger will they," meaning his sheep, "and a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers." Now we can hear the voice of strangers on the internet. We can hear the voice of strangers at work, out in the community, everywhere with our physical ears. But we're not going to hear in the spiritual sense. We're not going to take it to heart because we know that that message is false. Why? Because we've heard the Lord. That's why. Okay. But however, strangers, they will hear them. Have you ever met somebody that seemed to give you the right answer on salvation, but then they go and tell you how great John MacArthur is, who's a raging heretic, or how great what's that other guy's name? Piper, Paul Washer, any of those Calvinist clowns, okay, that say that salvation is difficult. You know, I mean, there's a plethora of them out there. Take your pick. Doesn't really matter, okay? What does that mean? What they are telling you without saying it with their mouths is, "I'm not saved. I'm just trying to please people. I'll take a little bit of salvation that's free, but I'm really all about this probation, which is not free over here," okay? And that's the problem. Now, back up again a couple of chapters to chapter number 8. John chapter number 8 real quick, and look at verse 47. So again, look at this. Actually, back up to verse 46. He says, "Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do ye not believe me?" Verse 47. "He that is of God heareth God's words." Okay? "He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God." Now, people get so upset all the time when we bring this up. Okay? You say, you know, "Hey, do you believe that? Do you believe the story of Jonah?" That's one of my favorite ones to bring up. And somebody says, "I'm a Christian. I believe in Christ. You know, I believe I'm on my way to heaven, but I don't really believe that Jonah got swallowed by a whale." Okay, do you say that person's saved? Well, nobody in here is. No, of course not. Why? Because they don't hear the word of God. Okay, even Jesus confirmed that story. Okay, even Jesus confirmed that that is of truth. So what they're telling you is, "I'm a raging heretic. I don't believe the word of God. I'm not saved. I just want to have some fellowship with you because I want to destroy your life." Or maybe that's just me. That's the way I hear it. I might be a little extreme. I don't know. But you get the point, okay? Go to back to the Psalms, okay? Psalm chapter number 19. Psalm chapter number 19. So what I'm trying to say here is that we have a special gift, and it's a gift given by God. It's dignified. It's set apart. It's sanctified. And it's something that we need to pay attention to. Okay? And not to mention, I mean, think of the discernment that this gives you. I mean, how many times does Jesus have to say it? "If somebody doesn't believe my words, they're not saved." Now, what I'm not saying is if, you know, somebody has a different opinion on Hebrews 6 or, you know, Deuteronomy, whatever, okay? They translate it different. I'm not saying they're a heretic. I'm just saying that, you know, or they're not saved. I'm just saying that when people say, I don't believe that this part of the Bible is true. I don't believe this part of the Bible should be there. Okay, which is, unfortunately, the vast majority of professing Christianity today that says that, okay? What they're doing is they're leaking, they're telling you, and you got to be able to hear this, okay? You have got to be able to hear this. They are telling you, I'm not saved. You say, but they're Baptist. I'm not saved. That is what they are saying to you, okay? I don't care if they're Baptist. I don't care if they're King James only. You know, the Mormons claim to be King James only. They do. And when we tell them, well, you got all these other books, well, yeah, but that's kind of all grouped together. It's all the Word of God. You know, we're still, you're not King James only. Not even close. You don't believe any of it. Literally, I don't think they believe any of it anymore at this day and age. But subject for another day. Now, what is interesting about this is that the voice of God is literally blasting forth every single day, but so many people cannot hear it, choose to ignore it. Psalm chapter 19, look at verse number 2. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. Okay, because you have the Holy Ghost, because you have not thrown away your measure of faith, rather, you can see that and you can hear that just by your observation, your natural observation. Look at verse 3. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. And of course, that's a huge slap in the face to the, what about the guy on the Lost Island crowd, okay? Doesn't matter. They don't have an excuse whatsoever. Verse number 4. Their line. Interesting how it says their line, that there, that plurality. Okay, these three are one. Their line, okay, which comes from God, their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun. So their line. So these things in nature that God spoke into existence, okay? They speak, they communicate, but yet most of the world chooses not to hear the message, okay? They choose not to hear the message of those things. Now, go to Exodus chapter number 20. Exodus chapter number 20. So going back to the idea of John chapter 10, verse 27, Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Okay, now some people look at that, and I'm telling you right now, they're going to say, well, see, you got to follow him. If you're not following him on a daily basis, everything, then you're not his sheep and you're not saved. Well, hold on for a second. Okay, what's the first commandment? What's the will of God? That we would hear the word of God and believe and be saved, John chapter number 6. Okay, so a saved person has done that. So, you know, just because a saved person isn't following Christ, just because they're out in the world, they're lost, or they're not lost, but they're just, you know, they're just not walking in the new man, they're not serving God, they're in disobedience, okay, they're definitely not pleasing God, but they're still a sheep because they still heard that message. Now, I'm not praising that lifestyle by any means, okay, but I am just saying that don't let people tell you, well, no, they're not saved because they're not following. Jesus said you have to follow me. Okay? He didn't say you have to follow every little thing I did to be saved. That's not what he's talking about. This should be very clear. But again, only those of us that are saved are really going to hear that, right? That's basically the point. Now, Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice, present tense. And we've already established that his voice is present today. It's present all over the place. And again, we saw that Jesus had sheep. Okay, and when he says this, understand the fact that he's got sheep that had not physically heard his voice. So how is this possible? Very basic doctrine here, Exodus 20, look at verse number 1. And God spake all these words saying, okay? So what God speaks, and by the Holy Ghost, man writes down, okay, that still speaks. It's still something we have to hear with our spiritual ears. And the lost, those who have rejected God, they cannot hear that in the same way that you and I can. Now, go to Revelation chapter, actually go to Matthew chapter 13 first. Matthew chapter number 13 first. Matthew chapter 13, parable of the sower. We kind of went through that not too long ago. So I just really want you to see verse 9 here in Matthew chapter 13. Jesus says this, Okay, so he tells the parable of the sower, and you know right after the disciples are like, hey, how can we speak to them in parables? And we've gone through why, and it's because they weren't, they basically rejected God, okay, and God didn't want them to hear his words. But he explains a parable to them. And then in verse 9, he says this, after giving the parable to the crowd, he says, who hath ears to hear, let him hear. You're always like, well, everybody's got ears. Yeah, but not everybody has spiritual ears. And let me just kind of try to develop this really quickly. Okay, and the Bible says that God hath given to every man a measure of faith. Okay, so at some point in every man's life, every person's life, they have the ability to hear the gospel and to actually receive it and to become saved, to become born again. Okay, but we know, and it's getting worse today, okay, because we're starting to approach the days of Noah, that a lot of people take that measure of faith and they just throw it away. Okay, so they're not able any longer to hear the basic message of salvation. So I could say with that, that not everyone has spiritual ears left. Okay, but there's something else I want you to see about that same subject. Go to Revelation chapter number 2. So not everybody has their spiritual ears left. Of course, if they squash that, they say, you know what, this measure of faith is gone. I don't believe. You know, we talked about this a little bit on Sunday night in 2 Corinthians 4. Well, you know, they're done for. It's over. The God of this world hath blinded their eyes. They're not going to be able to see the truth. And we know how that ends up. Okay, so not everyone has spiritual ears left. But this also kind of applies to us in a sense. Revelation 2. Verse 7. So after the correction given to the church at Ephesus for losing their first love, look what it says in verse 7. Same thing. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Okay, now that overcome, we've done studies on this before. Again, going back to John chapter 6, going back to overcoming the basic flawed message of the world, which is you have to do works to be saved, and we get that, okay? So obviously to that person who can overcome that by putting their faith and trust in Christ, they're saved, they have the ability to hear with their spiritual ears. But like I said, when we read Matthew 13, 9, not everyone has their spiritual ears left. Not every Christian chooses to exercise their spiritual ear that God has given them. And that's evident by the letters to the seven churches in Revelation. Now go to 1 John chapter number 1. 1 John chapter number 1. So that's where we want to be, right? We want to understand that. Again, a lot of times I think that Christians, we get too, I guess, complacent with things, and we just start to think that, well, I know so much so much great truth, right? We're right on prophecy, we're right on all these things, we've got the right gospel, the right Bible, we're doing these things, and we tend to think that a lot of things are just going to be automatically handed to us, okay? But the point is, we have to still choose to do the work. We have to study, okay? Why do you think that verse is in the Bible? Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, okay? And you get that, you understand that, okay? 1 John chapter 1. Now, let me show you a huge reason why we need to focus on this. Look at verse number 3. So the Bible says right here, 1 John chapter number 1, verse 3. Look at what John says. He says, that which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Now, of course, John and the apostles, they physically saw the miracles. They physically saw Jesus. They physically heard him. But obviously, they were able to spiritually hear and spiritually see these things. Remember, Jesus said, after my departure, the Comforter will come, and he will bring back into your remembrance the things in which I have said unto you. Okay? So later on, they were able to put this together. So what is spiritually hearing the Word of God on a regular basis really do for us? Okay? Well, think about this. How important is physical communication, like actually listening with your physical ears to your spouse? Okay, say it's Valentine's Day. Obviously, that's pretty important. Okay, and if you're a guy, you've been definitely accused of not listening, or maybe that's just me. I don't know. But obviously, right, listening to your spouse, learning your wife, learning these things is a good thing. That is how we maintain and improve our relationship. Well, it's the same thing spiritually, Okay? It's the same thing spiritually. We have got to constantly hear the word of God. Look, if we're going to walk by faith and not by sight, it makes sense that we're going to have to constantly hear from the word of God, all the word of God, so that we can make that happen, so that we can establish that, so that we can have that conversation with the new man that's so often mentioned in the New Testament, so that we can communicate and pray for the correct things, so that we don't ask amiss like James had said. Okay, now go to Proverbs chapter number 1. Proverbs chapter number 1. So again, the physical ears are never satisfied, but the spiritual ears are dignified. Okay, and understanding that God has given us this sense, okay, it produces calmness, it deserves respect, we need to respect it, and we need to, you say, why do you need to respect it? Well, because you're going to hear things in the Bible that do not make you feel exactly well. Okay? You're going to hear things in the Bible that you're doing wrong. You're going to hear things preached that maybe you're not so good on, this and that, things that are out of season, tough, hard truths. Okay, but when you're exercising your will to learn from the Word of God, and you finally just settled it in your heart, whatever this book says, okay, whatever it says, that is where we stand, that is what we believe, that is what we use to prove whether or not something is true or false. Once you've settled that in your heart, you're going to be able to hear the hard things, and then you're going to be able to grow faster, grow stronger in the Lord, okay? Proverbs chapter 1, look all the way down at verse number 20. Now look at this. Wisdom, okay? Wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. Very interesting. Wisdom. Okay, wisdom crieth. Okay, is it like sobbing, like, oh, nobody likes me? No. It's shouting. It's screaming. Okay? But it's not a physical noise, necessarily. Wisdom crieth without. So wisdom is constantly yelling. It is constantly crying forth. It is constantly demanding and pleading to be heard by us. Okay, but notice what it says. She uttereth her voice in the streets. Why is that significant? Well, because wisdom cries where all can hear, okay, which is something very important that we need to hear and remember. Okay, you got to be very careful when people come to you and they're like, hey, I've got this special secret truth. Not a lot of people know. Okay? I've got this book by these guys back, way back in the 16th century. It's about stuff they dug up. Okay? And it's got all this crazy scientific information. And it's got all this information about these aliens and stuff, man. You know what I'm saying? Still believe in the Bible, still believe in all that stuff. It's still good to go. But there's all this other stuff you might be missing. Okay? Be very careful, because real wisdom is out loud and proud in the good sense, okay? In the good sense, where all may hear, though not all do hear. In fact, the vast majority do not hear. Now look at verse 21. She crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gates. In the city she uttereth her word, saying. Now I know what some of you are thinking. Probably the same thing I'm thinking. Well, it's definitely not crying from the White House today, right? I don't hear much wisdom coming from that direction of this country, but again, a subject for another day. You almost don't even need spiritual ears at this point, okay? Even people that are lost and reprobate concerning the faith are starting to realize, hey, something ain't right. Something's just not good here. Verse 22. How long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? That's the problem. Okay, the problem with most people is they just love ignorance because it's easy. It's easy in your heart and mind to be like, well, I didn't know, so therefore I'm just going to be good to go. You'll be judged on what you know, and I don't know much, so therefore I'm good to go. No, that's wrong. That is not biblical. That is not what the Bible teaches at all. How long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? So again, we need to make sure that we're not a people that love simplicity or ignorance. Okay? And the scorners delight in their scorning. I mean, look, these things are on the rise today. I mean, I think I read in Oregon, I might have shared this already, but they're I don't know if they're doing this now or it's just been proposed, but they want to take away tests for certain groups of people. You know, yeah, like I'm not all for the public school system by any means, but look, that's just ridiculous. Hey, there's actually a college in Washington. It's called Evergreen State College. And I've had a couple of different college teachers that have graduated from that that university. And that college, you don't take tests. Okay, they just give you your assignments and your granola bar and your sippy cup with soy milk. And this is true, mostly, if you can really hear what I'm saying. And they're just like, just absorb the knowledge. Become one with the earth and use that energy to learn and grow and go forth and conquer your students and teach them the same way. And these same professors that I had when I was going through college, they would be, I'm going to give you guys a test, but don't fret, don't trip, I'll work with you. If you completely bomb it, you come back and see me and we'll work something out. And so what is that telling you? I'm not studying because I know for a fact I'm going to pass this in some way, shape, or form. But the problem is, what are you really going to learn? Okay, you need to do some hard things, and learning wisdom is hard. Why? Because you're going to make mistakes in life. You're going to do things that are wrong. Okay, and it is hard to admit when you're wrong, but that's how you learn. And there are only a minority of people in this world that have the guts to look themselves in the mirror and say, man, you are jacked up. You are wrong. You are not okay. You need to make some changes in your life. Okay. That's what he's saying. How long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? And the scorners delight in the scorning. Look, what's a scorner? A proud, arrogant jerk. That behavior is excelled. It's pushed. It's glorified today. Look at the laws in California. Okay? You can go into stores, and as long as you rob under a certain dollar amount, what is it, under $1,000 or something like that? I might have that wrong. Doesn't matter. Like most stores, they're not even calling the police anymore because they're just going to get released. Or if you just come here illegally, apparently you can beat cops up and just get released the next day and throw the finger up to the camera. I mean, there's all sorts of things like that. What's going on? Well, obviously this is pointing to Satan, but the problem is most people can't hear the message. They see it. They hear the news feed coming at them, but they can't hear the real problem. And the real problem is when more sin is glorified and pushed on a society, the worse the group of people the nation becomes, and the more like hell we become as a nation. I mean, think about it. 60, 70 years ago, okay, do you think you would have Biden's freak show in politics? Not even close. That type of stuff was only talked about by derelicts and reprobates, by and large, okay? Things have gotten worse. Why? Because the wisdom that God has established, that God has set forth in his creation is being ignored. People have stopped their ears. And of course, the rest of the verse there, verse 22, and fools hate knowledge. Somebody who hates knowledge. Somebody says, I shouldn't have to read a book. I shouldn't have to take a course to get better at my job. I shouldn't have to do this. It should be given to me because I'm just worth that much. You're a fool. That person is a fool to have that mentality. That's what the Bible's saying. Look at verse 23. Here's the application, and here's what you do. Turn you at my reproof. Look, wisdom reproves everybody at some point in their life. Okay, mom says, don't touch that hot stove. You touch that hot stove. That stove, that there's wisdom in that, and that's yelling at you. Don't be stupid. Listen to your mother, But how often do we reject that reproof? So he says, turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. If you want to mature as a Christian, it is very, very simple to teach, but it is very difficult sometimes to apply. Because look what he says again. Turn you at my reproof. Look, wisdom is given by God. And what I say this, look, life is going to throw all kinds of circumstances, and it's going to correct you in all sorts of ways. Ways that sometimes other people see, but typically ways that only you see in your day-to-day life. Okay, and so this is very individual, very specific to all of us. So what we have to do is we have to be the type of people that are paying attention on a daily basis. Something happens. You make a small decision that winds up being wrong at work. Okay, start there. Start reflecting on those things and saying, you know what? I really don't want to do that again. What can I do to not do that again? Okay, because wisdom is crying, it is yelling for you to hear her and to accept her. Okay, you want to have a good relationship with wisdom, you need to learn because wisdom communicates by reproof, by correction. Now, I'm not saying necessarily by destructive criticism, okay? Although we do listen to that from time to time, and that's a subject for another day. So, again, turn you at my reproof. What does that mean? That means that wisdom is reproving all of us on a daily basis on some level. Behold, I will pour out. Look at the guarantee. Look at the guarantee that comes with this. Behold, okay, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Do you want to learn the Bible better? Do you want to learn the Bible better? Not so that you can win some trivia competition, though that's kind of cool and fun too, but so that you can help people, so that you can better explain salvation and doctrine to people that you get saved, so that you can edify people better, which gets you rewards in heaven, by the way. Everybody in here wants that. How do you get better at that? You take reproof. You take correction. That's how it's done. And I could almost stop here, but I won't. Keep your place right there in Proverbs 1, but go to Matthew chapter number 7. Matthew chapter number 7, look at verse 24. Of course, after the famous story where Jesus tells those who were trying to justify themselves by their works and all the stuff that they did, all the demons they cast out, and he tells them that he never knew them, look what he says here in verse 24. He says, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, now look at this, and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. So again, the application for all of these spiritual senses, it's all the same. Hear and do, see and do, smell and do. Okay, the application is very simple. Do, apply, okay? Make the change. Hear what wisdom, hear what the Bible is telling you and do the right thing. Make the adjustment, okay? What does it do? It makes you wise. Verse 25, and the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. What does that tell you? Look, hopefully you're hearing what this is saying. Okay, this is saying that the floods and the wind are coming. No one is immune. No one escapes. But only the wise, only those who have exercised their hearing, their spiritual senses, only they will stand in those types of situations. Verse 26, and everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. And of course, we all know, we've talked about this, Christians can ruin their lives. Okay, Christians can ruin their lives by acting foolish, by acting like the world, which is why we talk about these types of things. Now, we're getting very close to being done here. Last passage I think we're going to go to. Maybe two more. Go to Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 8, and then we'll go to 19. So Proverbs chapter number 8 real quick. So again, physical ears are never satisfied, but your spiritual ears are dignified. Why? Because God has given them to you. Okay, God has provided that for you. And they produce a calmness. They produce a power. They produce protection for you because God's developed them. So Proverbs 8, look at verse 33. Look what this says. Hear instruction and be wise and refuse it not. Now I bet we've all worked with some people in here that have not been able to hear instruction. The boss is like, hey, do this, this, and this. You get to the job site and they're like, all right, we're just going to do this. You're sitting here like, that's not the instruction. Okay. When you're in that situation, what do? You revert back to the higher authority, back to the instruction. Well, you go do whatever you want to do. Okay, I ain't trying to stop you, but I'm going to do what he said. That way we don't get in trouble. Go to Proverbs chapter number 19. Proverbs chapter 19. And look at verse number 20. Hear counsel and receive instruction that thou mayest be wise in thy latter end. Okay, what is this saying? Hopefully you're hearing this. Patience. These things aren't overnight. It takes time. You have got to have patience, okay? It takes time. Make this a habit. Make this a part of your routine to hear instruction, okay? Through the circumstances, the little things that happen to you on a regular basis, okay? Whatever those things are, make changes so they don't happen again. And you will be surprised. In fact, I think you'll be amazed at how much better your life gets. Skip down to verse 27. Cease, my son, to hear the instruction that causeth to err from the words of knowledge. So again, you know, we probably all know what that looks like. Okay, there is, again, a ton of instruction out there that will cause you and take you away from the things of God. Okay, and we're to stay away from that and to encourage others also to stay away from that. Now go to chapter number 22, Proverbs chapter number 22. Look down verse number 17. Bow down thine ear and hear the words of the wise, and apply thine heart unto my knowledge. Again, yeah, you need to hear the physical too, okay? But you also need to apply some understanding, okay? Bow down thine ear and hear the words of the wise. Why does this have to keep getting mentioned in the Bible? Because it is a hard thing to do. Because the wise thing is not always the easiest thing to do. And once you realize that, though, and you're okay with that and you're comfortable with that, it's going to be much easier for you and I to actually go forth and be good with this. Go to chapter 23. One more verse after this. Go to Proverbs chapter number 23. And look at verse 19. Hear thou, my son, and be wise, and guide thine heart in the way. So again, here. Okay, that's what the idea is here. That is what Solomon, that is what the wisest man who ever lived really wanted us to understand. Okay, hear. Don't just hear noise. Okay, some people sit in church and all they hear is noise. And I get that. I've been there. Okay. When I'm reading the bulletin, you know what I'm hearing? I'm just hearing my voice. I don't actually pay attention to it. Neither do half of you. You're just like me. You get it. You understand. I know some of you do. But anyways, I'm just trying to be funny. But the point is we need to actually hear. Okay, you need to hear what people really are trying to tell you. You need to hear what the Word of God is saying, okay, beyond what is written there. There's a lot of implied things in the Bible, okay? We're allowed to take what is written here, fully absorb it, and derive principles, okay? We're allowed to use this in any day, any year, any century, and actually look at the world surrounding us and be like, okay, you know what? This actually is no good over here. We need to stay away from this, and here's why. Okay? But you're never going to do that if you're not able to hear properly. You're not able to have that conversation with the new man. So Psalm 46, last place I'm going to have you turn, Psalm chapter number 46. So again, the physical ear is never satisfied, but the spiritual ear is dignified. Why? Because God gave that to us. It's calm, it's impressive, and it's deserving of respect. We need to respect what God has given us and actually use it because it's for our benefit. Psalm 46, verse number 10. Here's the last thing I just kind of want to bring up before we close. Look at what it says. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. You know, it is hard to hear physically and to hear spiritually what a lot of these evil people in the media, politicians, and the plans that they have. It is hard to hear that stuff, and it can be downright discouraging from time to time. But if you hear the Word of God over that, okay, you hear this verse right here, you know what you should be thinking? You know what that does for you? That gives you that hope and promise. Hey, it doesn't matter what these clowns say. It doesn't matter the plans that BlackRock has for the nation and all these secret societies, okay? Because guess what? At the end of the day, it is God that is going to be exalted among all of those clowns at some point in time. This will happen. He will be exalted in this earth. That is what the Bible says. That is a guarantee. That is a promise. But the beginning of the verse there where it says, be still and know that I am God, I think sometimes we just get too busy. We just get too busy with the physical noise of every single day life. Now, I'll leave you with this. I thought this was a great bit of application. I shared this with Evan a couple weeks ago. I'm reading this book that King James wrote. It's called The Basilican Doran. And it was given to me by Brother Sean Harrington at Sure Foundation. And I looked it over a few years ago, but I'm rereading it now. And it's a book divided into three sections. It talks a lot about government. And it's pretty cool to look at some of the things that King James, you know, believed himself and some of the things that he said and kind of how he's translating the Bible before the King James is actually even done. And one of the things he tells his son in that book is that what kings ought to do at the end of the day, he says this to his son, you know, before you go to sleep at night, make this a habit, get your journal out. and just keep this between you and the Lord, okay? This is a private thing, not something you want to put on blast. You don't want to tweet these things, okay? But what you want to do is you want to think through your day real quickly, okay? And just think on the times where you violated your conscience. Think about the things that wisdom which cries out in the street, and he says it like that. You know, basically think about those times that you ignored that stuff. Write it down and think about how you're going to change it. What does that do if you actually do that method? Well, that gets you in the fight. That gets you to apply. That gets you actually thinking about what you did that day. I mean, you do that for 30 days and tell me you're not going to be a better Christian. Tell me you're not going to be a better Christian and more mature at the end of that. You know, I thought that was definitely a great bit of application and something that I think would benefit all of us to do on a regular basis. Because what does that do? That gets you to listen. Okay. You know, again, you know, how to hear things that are not actually making noise. You know, that's what we're really talking about today. Well, when you call into remembrance, okay, you can hear the mistakes that you made. You can hear the instruction and the reproof that wisdom shot out to you that day. Okay, and if you can hear that and you can acknowledge that, man, you're going to be on your way to making good progress in becoming that mature Christian that everybody wants to be. Because at the end of the day, what are we trying to do? We're trying to advance the kingdom of God. But guess what? We need to advance ourselves as well if we're going to actually be successful at doing that. So we're going to go ahead and stop it there for today. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Thank you so much, Lord, again for this church. For everybody here, I just pray that you'd bless our fellowship after the service, Lord, and bring us again safely this weekend. And of course, we always thank you for all that you do for us. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.